Last time you were here too. And there's a lot of white on me since the last time you came through. These are the Deku boys. Now, actually, I say that, I think we talked to you first.
That's right.
And then his brother Joel came through. And Joel and Brooke are in Kiribati.
Yes.
Okay, Kiribati. Now, their father and mother have been missionaries in the Fiji Islands, if I remember right.
Yes.
Okay. And so you're in that same area, but you're not in the same ministry, are you?
No.
You're at a different part of the islands here.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we just recently, when Joel and Brooke, they had some health issues with the kids. They came here, and his younger brother, Josh, and his wife, Frances, went over to help them at Kiribati. Now, they're back home, and they've been here to candidate, and now we're supporting them as well. And they're back in the Fiji Islands as well, but they're going to eventually be in a different area. Are they with your folks right now?
Yes.
They're with your folks right now. Okay. Well, aren't they eventually trying to go north, or,
yes.
Or your father's going north, or one or the other there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So they're trying to win Fiji Islands there to the Lord, and I appreciate that. And they're good guys, and they've been faithful and faithful for many years. And he's home for a little bit here, and we thought, well, we just have him come in and share with us and what's on his heart, and preach to us. And we appreciate you being here tonight. And let's see what's on your heart tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. As Pastor said, it's been a while. I believe it's probably been about 2008, 2009. And God's been good to us all that time. And we're thankful for what he's done for us. We've been in American Samoa, and then we've been in Fiji for about 4 or 5 years. And God has led us to the biggest airport on the island. It's in Nandi, and it's the fastest growing area in all of the country. And we started Anchor Baptist Church there a couple years ago. And just a few weeks ago, we got word that there's a possibility of getting about an acre and a half of land for about 1/4 of what it's worth.
Wow.
And this lady contacted a man in our church. He emailed me and he said, Pastor, this opportunity has come up. What do you think? And I said, praise God. So in about 2 weeks, I'm actually going to take a trip back to Fiji by myself for about a week. To meet with the lady and try to get some things finalized. So that's an unbelievable answer to prayer. If you would pray for that, that would be greatly appreciated. This land is like 3 minutes from the largest airport in the entire South Pacific. When Joel and Brooke come to America, they have to come through us. When all the other island countries go to Australia or New Zealand or America, they come through us. The planes will actually land right over top of this land, the small planes, not the big ones. So if you would pray for that, that would be great. We know that Nandi is wide open and Fiji is wide open in the sense of opportunities. We've been able to go to schools. We've been able to go to prisons. We've been able to go to hospitals. We've been able to go door to door. We're able to pass out tracts and John Romans in the marketplaces. We've gone to different remote islands and villages, and you'll see some of that here tonight. We had an evangelistic meeting about a year ago, and we were in downtown Nandi. And the Hindu temple, which is the largest Hindu temple in the southern hemisphere, which was literally maybe 300-400 feet from where we were holding our meeting, they were blasting their music. They were praying to their gods, but at the same time, we were preaching the gospel message, and that was great to be a part. Our largest attendance that night was over 100 people, and the evangelist preached. He did the chalk drawing. He did the puppets. At night, and then during the day, we did the puppets and the chalk drawing in schools. And so it was a great opportunity. We want to thank you for supporting us, for praying for us. I want to thank you for taking care of my little brothers, Joel and Josh. And thankful they've been able to be here. And we're thankful that my son, Scott Jeffrey, and I are able to be here tonight. My wife and my children are not with me. My wife is not feeling well today. She's with her family back in South Jersey. If you read in our... Amen. If you read in our...
We need to change mics.
Okay. If you read in our prayer letter, she cut her right hand back in April, her tendon in her hand, and it was just hanging like this. And we searched the whole country over for somebody to repair it, and nobody could do it. And God worked it all out that my brother Joel and his wife Brooke were in Fiji, and they kept all of our children, and we were able to fly to Australia. And in just a few days, they did the surgery, took everything, and my wife's hand is A-okay. So she still has a hand to punch me when I get out of line. Amen? No, just kidding. But we're so thankful that that all worked out. It was one of those things where, how's this going to happen? How's it going to work out? And God orchestrated all in a way that we cannot do. The DVD gives you some verses and some thoughts, but I just want you to know tonight that God is working. People have the mentality and the belief that souls aren't getting saved and lives aren't being changed and that the gospel doesn't work. The gospel still works, amen? When the children come for your vacation Bible school and you're preparing your lesson and whatever you have to do to get ready for that, it's worth it all, amen?
Yeah. Technical difficulties?
Try one more time. Go a little further.
I've never done that before.
Never, ever. No, it's caught on the far side.
Stop.
I've never done that before.
Move this up to about here.
Okay.
Wow.
It's like it's caught on the lever.
Does anybody have a question about Fiji? If you get a chance afterwards to go outside and look at our table in the foyer, Fiji is the only country with a $7 note. In 2016, Fiji won their first Olympic medal in the history of the entire country. And they won that in rugby sevens. Now, rugby is a very rough sport. It's a very violent sport. But they love it in the islands. Sometimes they just use a plastic bottle. Sometimes they just play with whatever they have. A question? Anybody have a question? Nobody has a question. Yes. That's a good question. Everybody speaks English, and they also speak their own language. So they speak English as well as, it's called Fijian. And I'll teach you a word. When you say hello in Fiji, you say bula. Can you say that? Bula. Very good. So when you come to the country, of course in Hawaii they say aloha, but in Fiji they'll say bula. And we have a couple of the shell necklaces that will, if you come to a hotel or somebody comes to greet you, they'll give you one of those necklaces. All right. You have a question?
Yeah, I got a question.
Yes. Yeah. Bluvanaka. Bluvanaka. Okay.
Right, are ready? Ready to go. Let's catch the lights back there.
Always the first time. 2014, God called the Scott Deku family to Nandi, Fiji, the fastest growing area in the country. There have been many battles along the way, but God has been faithful. God's word says in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This island nation consists of 330 islands with white sandy beaches, crystal clear waters, and majestic mountain ranges. But the best part of Fiji are its people, who are made in the image of God. They are people who God loves and desires to see them come to a saving knowledge of Him. Behind their smiles are hearts that are lost, blinded, empty, and afraid. Cannibalism was widely practiced here in the islands until the gospel arrived in the mid-1800s. Fiji is now home to the largest Hindu temple in their southern hemisphere. There are also numerous false religions, cults, and churches where people are faithfully committed but have no hope for eternity. Scott and Katie Deku have been serving as missionaries in the South Pacific since 2007. God has blessed their family with six precious children.
My name is Scott Jeffrey. I am 10 years old. I help in Fiji by setting up our church and helping with the sound system.
My name is Jenna. I am 8 years old. I like to pass out tracts and help people to get saved.
My name is Ange Paul. I am 6 years old. I help my dad in Fiji with shopping.
My name is Benjamin. I am 5 years old. I help my dad sing at church.
My name is Emmy. I'm three.
This is David, and he was born August 2018.
Capital Baptist Church in Dover, Delaware, under the leadership of Pastor Moore, have prayerfully sent the Scott Deku family into the harvest field. Along with the help and assistance of Baptist International Missions Incorporated in Harrison, Tennessee.
1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God is working. He is working in the Fiji Islands. He is saving souls. He is changing lives. He is helping people in their Christian homes. He's giving them hope for eternity. God is at work.
Christina, a Chinese lady that I met at the hospital, trusted Christ as her Savior before dying of cancer in 2016.
One day on hospital visitation, I met a 40-year-old man named Rupeni. I shared the gospel message to him, and he asked Jesus Christ to be his personal Savior with tears in his eyes. Jerome grew up in a Methodist home, not hearing the gospel, and he came to Christ, and he is faithfully serving the Lord in our church, and we're excited about his future. William grew up in a Muslim home, eventually became an atheist, and trusted Christ not too long ago, and is now excited about telling others about Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." God is building his church here in Nandi, Fiji. God builds his church as we obey him to faithfully proclaim his word. Anchor Baptist Church in Nandi, Fiji is God's church. As a young church, we have been involved with tract distribution on city streets, door-to-door, hospital, and prison outreaches.
We were privileged to host Evangelist and Mrs. Barry Webb during a citywide outreach. We saw many come to Christ. A trip to the remote island of Rumbi gave us the opportunity of presenting the gospel to over 1,000 school students on the island.
Doors were open to hold Bible studies in homes, restaurants, and workplaces. A camp ministry has been a tremendous opportunity to see young people calling on the Lord for salvation and making decisions to live for Him. It is an overwhelming joy to witness the salvation of souls, baptisms, and seeing these new Christians have a burden to reach their own people. 2 Corinthians 2:12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. The future is wide open upon our return to Fiji in the spring of 2020. Brother Jerome is a certified pilot who is willing to use his talents to start making trips to outer islands with Bibles, John and Romans, Christian films, and tracts.
We want to continue to see Anchor Baptist Church grow, both physically and spiritually. It is the desire of our hearts to see the church acquire a piece of land, build a building, and possibly call their own pastor one day.
Let us be reminded that there is a world that needs Jesus Christ. He is working to see souls saved, lives changed, and Bible-believing churches established. Thank you for being a part of God's work in Fiji by faithfully supporting, praying, and helping us.
Thank you. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 16. If you would also write down August 12th through the 16th is the week of camp in Fiji, just a few weeks away. That would be great if you pray for that. We usually have over 100 people and staff, campers that come from all over the islands. And it's a great time, of course, to get these kids away from their friends in the world, and get them in the Word of God. Amen? We have 8 preaching sessions. We have divided sessions with the boys and the girls. We have dorm devotions, and we have a great opportunity to preach to them. And I know that Josh is working hard at that right now, and he's doing a great job. My brother Josh was born in Fiji, and he went to school there, and he's a Fiji citizen, and he's a U.S. citizen. But most importantly, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? And so if you would pray for a camp and, of course, the land, we would greatly appreciate that. Just want to give you a few things that I'm thankful for tonight. The Bible says in Psalms 106, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." God is good. Amen? Number one, I'm thankful for God's power. Thankful for God's power. You know, as a young man, you often think that, you know, you've got it all. You've got the education, you've got the youth, you've got the athleticism, or whatever it is. But the truth is without God's help, we can do nothing. The Bible tells us, John chapter 15, Jesus says, "For without me ye can do nothing." And the longer I live and the older I get, I understand that I need God's help. Every time we go out soul winning, or every time we go out in an outreach, or the trip that we took to Rumbi and the men that were with me, we constantly prayed because we know it's spiritual warfare, but we have God's power. We have his strength. The last service that we were there just a few weeks ago, or back at the end of May, and one of the men gave his testimony. And when I heard that, it just kind of made me want to cry and just say, thank you, God, for working in his heart. I didn't do it, but God did. And he just said, if it wasn't for you coming, it wasn't for you sharing the gospel, and it wasn't for you helping us. And I thought, how is this possible? And the answer is, it's God's. It's God changing his life. It's God helping him. When I met him and his wife, they were living together, and they weren't saved, and they didn't know anything. And now they've gotten saved, and God has changed them, and they've gotten married, and they're wanting to do what's right. It's God that works. Power, the Bible tells us in Psalm 62 that power belongeth unto God. Number two is God's presence. You know, I love that verse that tells us where Jesus tells us, "Lo, I am with you always." Amen? All the time he's with us. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2, it tells us, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You know, sometimes you feel as a missionary that you're all alone. You feel as if nobody's with you, but God's with you. He says, "I will be with thee." And then number two is God's provision. I've been serving God as a missionary since 2005 when I was single. Then we got married in 2007. And I've never missed a meal. I've never had to beg. I've never had to go out and do something else, get a job. God's always taking care of me. Of course, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The land that we're looking at for the church is surrounded by very close multi-million dollar homes and houses and businesses. And we were looking at land, and this land fell through, and this land fell through, and this land fell through. And to be honest with you, this piece is much better and much cheaper. Amen? It's like God closed the door, and God closed the door, and God closed the door, and God says, here you are. And, you know, I was thinking I could have just ran out and got those other pieces of land. We got to have it. But God's timing is perfect. Amen? God's provision is always right. And then number four is God's protection. You know, just literally a week or a half ago, we were driving down to Tennessee, and we were going down 81, doing about 65, 70 miles an hour, and a car pulled right over in front of me. If I hadn't been paying attention, we would have had an accident. And just about 2 weeks before that, we were up in New Jersey, and a car pulled right out in front of me on, if you've ever been in New Jersey, on the parkway. It's pretty dangerous sometimes. Car pulled right out in front of us. I told my wife, I said, God's watching over us. In the past 4 years, we've gone through four hurricanes. One of them was Cyclone Winston, 2016, February, Category 5. I thank God for his protection. Amen? It came at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. The power went out. The storm hit, and it got dark. And my wife and I were like, what are we going to do if the kids are going to be screaming during the storm? It's going to be so loud. It's a freight train. They all slept through the entire storm. They woke up in the morning. Hey, where's the storm? We said, it's gone. Thank God for his protection. Amen. The roof was of course, getting battered and tattered. And I thought, well, is it going to go? I don't know. And the trees were hitting the side of our house. The wind was blowing. The rain was coming in. And I tell you what, if you've never been scared before, you get scared when 150, 160 mile an hour winds is hitting your house. Thank God for his protection. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. About 5 years ago, my wife was and I were sleeping like all good people do at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And she woke me up and she said, I think there's somebody in the house. And she thought that our oldest here, Scott Jeffrey, was out in the hallway going to the bathroom. And it wasn't him. It was an unwanted guest. Amen. So by the time I got up and I got out there with my baseball bat, he was gone. Amen. He had taken off. He only stole one thing, our internet router. But he could have stolen more. I believe that God woke up my wife. And he could have done something else to us. Who knows? But thank God for his protection. Amen? And then number five is thank God for his purpose. He gives us a purpose. Amen? He gives us a reason to live. Philippians 1:21, one of my life verses is, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If we live for the things of this world, or we live for our flesh, or we live for ourselves, it doesn't have any purpose. Amen? But when we live for God, we have an eternal purpose. And as we obey his commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And every time we fly into Fiji and we see tourists, business people, they're going there for a reason, whether it's a vacation or a holiday or a business. But we're going to Fiji because we're ambassadors for Christ, and we represent him. And we as Christians and missionaries, we don't have to make anything up. It's all here in the Word of God. Amen? It's the power of the Word of God that changes lives. It's nothing that man has said, but it's all that God has said. Amen? All I have to do is be God's messenger, God's purpose. I thank God so much. We have so much to be thankful for as a family, and we have so much to be thankful for. We thank God for you folks tonight for praying for us. For lifting us up in prayer. Let me ask you tonight, and on behalf of every missionary, don't stop praying. Amen? Don't stop praying. And don't believe tonight that prayer is a waste of time, because that's a lie from the devil. Amen? We have a great God who hears and answers prayers, and he wants us to pray to him. Amen? What an opportunity to go before him and with our petitions and our requests. Luke chapter number 16 tonight, just give you a few thoughts from this chapter. Hope it will be an encouragement to you. One of the joys, of course, about being a missionary is sharing the gospel. We go to the hospital and people are dying there. The medical care there is not very good. Oftentimes they don't know what to give to the patients. They just give them some Tylenol, ibuprofen, say, go home and die. There's nothing we can do for you. And oftentimes I go to the hospital and I'll meet somebody who has been given that death sentence of you don't have long to live. And oftentimes, of course, it happens in America too, where the doctors say, you don't have long to live. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? One of my favorite verses is where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In Fiji, a funeral is not like a funeral in America. If it's a Hindu funeral, they will cremate the body, bury the ashes, and have 16 nights of prayers, praying to the gods for the souls of their loved one. If it's a Christian funeral, they will have the funeral service in the morning, and then for 3 nights, they'll have prayer meeting, preaching and teaching God's word. But I remember one of the first funerals we ever went to, they have a big outside area where they meet with just pieces of tin laying across pipes. And hundreds of people will gather and they'll bring the body out from the house and the mother and the brother, or all the ladies will begin to scream and to yell and to wail. And they believe if they don't do that, then everyone else will think that they are not mourning for their family. But if you hear that scream and you hear that blood-curdling sound, you'll never forget it. And I remember the first time I heard it, and I have not forgotten it. That was years ago. But you know, the truth is today that we serve the God of all hope. You see, today we have money, we have materialism in America, we have wealth, and we have prosperity. But money cannot buy you hope. But Jesus Christ is the hope tonight. Amen. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He was buried and he rose again the third day. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. He's coming back. Jesus says, I will come again. We know the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 says, and as is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. No man, no person, no woman, no boy, no girl can escape death. But I love this verse, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The book of Job, chapter 18, verse 4, calls death the king of terrors. The king of terrors. And that people in this life, our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, our workmates, our family, whoever, they are tormented with this king of terrors. Oh, they may not admit it. They may not confess that they're afraid of dying. But at the back of everyone's mind, they know that they face it. We don't know how long we're going to live, but we know today that our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Our hope is in the Lord. Look in Luke chapter number 16, and the Bible tells us in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. For Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Why do you have Vacation Bible School? Why do we have a church like Lighthouse Baptist Church? Why do we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Because people are dying. Many have never heard. It amazes me how I can pick up my phone and I can dial 911, and within minutes, the police and the fire and the EMTs will be there on the scene to save a life. But yet we see Christians all over America and all around the world apathetic towards people dying and going to hell. Let me tell you tonight, stay on the winning side. Stay on the fighting side, because souls are dying without Jesus Christ. Every member of this church and every member of every Bible-believing church is so important to continue the work for Christ. Amen? Don't ever believe the lie that you're not important. Don't ever believe the lie that souls are dying without Christ. We get distracted and we get discouraged. Let us not get distracted. Let's not get discouraged. Let me give you just a couple of thoughts tonight. Number one is everyone is going to die. Everyone has to face the universal reality of death. We may think it's in a distant future, but perhaps it could come quicker than we realize. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, every person I know is going to die. And then two places, heaven or hell. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. Amen? We're pilgrims and we're strangers. You know, oftentimes we go through problems and we go through struggles and we have health problems. My poor wife with her hand or her finger was in such pain and agony. I says, honey, guess what? There's no pain or suffering in heaven. And also number two, of course, is hell. We see in this passage of Scripture that the rich man cried out for mercy. He cried out for moisture, just a drop of water. And he cried out, verse 28, for a missionary. He says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. I'm so glad tonight that we have a Savior who loved us and went to the cross so that we could be saved. Two places, heaven or hell. And then I think of the word eternal, which means forever, everlasting. He tells us in Mark chapter number 9, verse 43, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Three times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. There's no ending. There's no stopping point. It doesn't cease. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You see, eternity is forever, but our time is running out. Our time is getting shorter. The coming of Christ draweth nigh. And then I think of the letter R and I think of eternity. I think of Revelation chapter number 19, verse 6, which says, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you understand today that God is still on the throne? Nothing has surprised God. Nothing has shocked God. We serve an almighty God who still rules and reigns. Then I think of the letter N, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18 and 19. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, oftentimes when we are in the islands, they go to their beautiful church buildings and they wear white hats, the ladies do, and their white dresses, and the men will wear all white suits. and they are committed to the religion. They are committed to what they're told. But they're lost because they don't know Christ. Look in Romans chapter number 10, if you would. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I, brethren, reckon that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, you can't establish your own righteousness. We need the righteousness of God. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need His record to be put on our account. We need to be justified. We are justified by faith. Now look what the Bible says in verse 14. You know, when I was a young man, I says, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do except be a missionary. I don't want to do that. I was a senior in high school, and they asked me to give my testimony for 5 minutes. And you thought that they asked me to jump over the moon for 5 minutes. I said, there's no way I can talk for 5 minutes. I hate standing up in front of people. But you know what? God worked in my heart. I says, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And he used this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We can't limit it to just a pastor or a preacher. How shall they hear without a messenger bearing the message of Christ? Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, I get to go to the islands, to the far beyond villages and cities and towns, and bring glad tidings of good news. Amen? You go to Fiji and you pass out a gospel track, and they say thank you. I stand on the street corner and I pass it out to people from America, and they don't even say, no, thank you. They just run into me and keep on walking. But there are still people who want to be saved. Amen? There are still people. And a thought came to my mind, in my heart, if I don't answer God's call, how shall they hear? That God has people for me to meet and to talk to and to share His word with. I love preaching in the prisons. There's a room downstairs, a big room upstairs, and then maybe 20 feet, there's another building. One downstairs and one upstairs, and no microphone. And boy, I love to get loud. There's about 100 prisoners in there, and we sing Jesus Paid It All, What Can Wash Her, all the gospel songs. So we have an hour. So we sing for about 10 minutes, and I get to preach for 45 minutes, and they can't go anywhere. Amen? They can't be dismissed. They can't go. They lock me in there with a big padlock. And I turn around, and they all stare at me. I'm the only white-skinned person in there. And they're big. They're big guys. I say, God, you're going to have to protect me. Amen? But you know, the truth is, if we don't go, how shall they know? Amen? If we don't go, how shall they know? And then when I think of the letter I think of ignorance. That people do not know or they choose to ignore. Most people, whenever I witness to them, whether or not they get saved, I ask them, have you ever heard this before? And most people say, I've never heard. I've never heard this message. I've never heard this gospel. Then I think of the word T for temporary. What does the Bible tell us in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 20? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, only two things last forever. The word of God. Amen? Which liveth and abideth forever. And number two, is the work of God. Jesus says, I will build my church. You see, God wants people to be saved. That every man, woman, boy, and girl has a spiritual being to them. They have a soul that needs Jesus. Amen? May God help us to not live for the temporary, but live for the eternal. Then I think of the word why. Why? And I think of you. This track I have with me, it says, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And not only that, where will your family, your friends, your classmates, your workmates, where will they spend eternity forever and ever? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Forever and ever. And then I want to ask you tonight, are you living for eternity? Are you living for eternity? You know, I pray for my children for two things. Number one is that they get saved. Whenever they understand, whenever they're ready to get saved. And number two, that they'll surrender their life to God. The worst thing a parent can do is discourage their children from serving God. You know, my brothers, there's four of us. All of us are serving God. All of us are preachers. But my parents never said, you have to serve God. You've got to do what God... Go to the mission field. Never said that. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me ask you tonight, are you surrendered to God? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. In my travels as a missionary, a man came up to me, looked me in the eye, and began to cry. And he said, Brother Deku, I know God called me to be a missionary, but I never went. To this day, I regret it. I never went. In Acts chapter number 9, verse number 6, whenever Saul was on the road to Damascus and he received his sight again, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you said that to God? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The only prayer request that Jesus gives us, he says, pray there for the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Every missionary would say, we need more laborers. We need more laborers. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. We need more laborers. And yet we see the hearts of Christians all over America concerned about one person only, and that's themselves. What I want to do, what I'm going to do. We find people telling God what they're going to do. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 8, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. We say, here am I, send him. Here am I, send her. Let him do it. Hey, we need some volunteers. Did the oldest one. You see, people are volunteering for the armed forces of America, but yet very few are volunteering for the armed forces of Almighty God. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching as to war. We only have one life to give. Amen? D.L. Moody, in 1873, was a young man. And he met a British revivalist named Henry Varley. And he made this statement to young Mr. Moody. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. Sometime later, D.L. Moody saw that revivalist, evangelist again. And he said, do you remember the conversation that we had so many years ago? He said, yes, vaguely, but not completely. And he reminded him of what he had said. He said, I went back to Chicago, and all the way back, that thought burned in my mind, in my heart. He said, Mr. Varley, you said to me, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. Mr. Moody said, by God's grace, I aim to be that man. May God give us Christians believers that will say, by God's help, I aim to be that man. Not to lay up treasures on this earth, not to be concerned with pleasures, because the pleasures are for a season and they're short-lived. May God help us to live for eternity. There's a song. It says, with eternity's values in view, Lord, may I do each day's work for Jesus. You see, you live out in the world with television and media, and all these things are bombarding us. It's me first, me first. Go ahead. You deserve it. Do it for yourself. But you know, when you're a child of God and God works in your heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. And as long as I've served God, I've never regretted it. I've never said, wow, what a mistake to serve God. And I know the people that God has allowed me to witness to and to help and to train to serve God, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. I had two young people with me in American Samoa, and I was training them in the Word of God. And they were kind of like a little bit teetering. And I gave them a Bible study, and they finished it. And I gave them another one, and they finished it. And they were hoping that eventually I would go away and that they would not have to do the Bible studies anymore. He just came to my house because his uncle was his boss, and he was keeping his uncle happy. Fast forward to today, him and his wife are serving God in the islands. He's preaching God's word. He's reaching his people. See, little is much when God is in it. Let me encourage you tonight. Human nature says, look at everybody else. Well, what about you? Where will you spend eternity? My wife and I, we have family that are lost, rejected God. If you have unsaved family tonight, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. I met a man about a week ago. He said, people prayed for me for 10 years. He said, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of fighting. I'm going to get saved. There was another lady who prayed for her husband for 25 years. And the pastor was down on a Wednesday night, and the husband came to the back door, and he walked down the front, and he said, Mr. Smith, or whatever his name was, what can I do for you? He said, Pastor, I got to get saved. He said, I can't eat, can't sleep, I can't work, I can't nothing. I got to get saved. His wife prayed for him for 25 years. Let me encourage you tonight. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just got an email 2 days ago from where we were in Samoa. And the pastor emailed me, and he said, I witnessed to this family. And the wife said that she got saved when you were here, and the husband said you witnessed to him and his family. He got saved this past week, and is getting baptized soon. Amen. It's worth it all. Let's have every head bowed and every eyes closed tonight. First of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you got out in your car tonight and you were killed in a car crash, would you be with Lazarus in heaven, or would you be with the rich man in hell? Would you cry out for a drop of water? Would you cry out for mercy? Truth is it would be too late. It would be too late. Don't leave this place tonight. Don't go to bed tonight. Don't put it off. Because today is the day of salvation. And the second question is, are you surrendered? Are you living for Christ? Are you living for eternity? You're a young person tonight, or whatever your age, just say yes to God. Someone wrote a song and said, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. May God help Lighthouse Baptist Church to be a gospel preaching, gospel missionary sending church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would work in a mighty way, in a way that only you can. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. I thank you tonight for your power, for your presence, for your protection, that you give us purpose, that we're living for you. I just pray that you would continue to call missionaries around the world and continue to call those across the street. May we be faithful witnesses, faithful prayer warriors. May we be committed to the cause of Christ, because we know it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh God, please break our hearts, break our wills, break our minds to be consecrated and committed to you. Raise up a generation, Lord. Raise up an army to preach your precious word. We ask this in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Let's stand to our feet, and we're going to sing a couple of verses, 308, I Surrender All. And as we sing, the altar is open.